Good morning, Delaware. Boy, it was beautiful driving in this morning. I came up 3:15 and it was just gorgeous.
I have appreciated the sun.
The rivers were running a little high, so that would look really nice. Mm. I mean, if you were a kayaker who wasn't afraid of hypothermia, you might even be interested in doing something there. But good morning, Nicole. Good morning, Gage. How are you doing?
Oh, good morning, everybody. Happy Friday.
I am so excited. I am finally scheduled to get my coronavirus vaccine.
That's exciting.
Yeah, I'm doing it at Big Lots.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a location.
Well, it's just like any place else, except the labels are all in different languages, and it's a little closer to the expiration date. So anyway, how are you doing, Nicole?
I am good. I have my coffee. I have my radio show. Everything is wonderful.
Who could ask for anything more?
Who could ask for anything more? That's right.
And our guests today are Katie Height, who is the Assistant Branch Manager for Adult Services at our Orange Library. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning, George. Good morning, Nicole.
And Via Smith, who is Circulation Associate at the Main Library of the Delaware County District Library. Good morning, Via.
Good morning.
And we are talking today about our new hosts of Library Guys Go to the Movies. But I guess, are we going to have to change the title?
We got to have a name change, right, gals?
We'll be talking about that in the second half of the show. But so what have you been reading or listening to?
Yeah. So I have been working through some audiobooks lately. And I think last week I talked about When You Finish Saving the World by Jesse Eisenberg. And I said that one is unfortunately an Audible exclusive. So I figured I should follow up with one that is not an Audible exclusive. This one you will be able to check out from the Delaware County District Library. I think we have it on order in several different formats, CD, Play Away, and then download from your Hoopla and your Libby. This is a fun one. This is called Barack Obama, the 60 Minutes Interviews, and it is introduced with new commentary by Steve Croft. Mm-hmm. So this is something that was only ever published in an audio consumable format, mm-hmm. and it was basically Steve Croft, a journalist with 60 Minutes on CBS. He was the only journalist on that show, that particular show, who ever interviewed Barack Obama in any setting. So he started listening to, he got the whispers on Capitol Hill that, you know, this junior senator, Barack Obama, is making some stirs and we might want to see what he has to say. So Croft does a few interviews with him as a junior senator. And then his name gets thrown in the ring as far as a presidential candidate. And everyone is thinking, man, this guy seems pretty green for a presidential candidate. So then Croft does some more interviews with him. My assumption going into this book was that when I think Barack Obama, the 60 Minutes interviews, that it's going to be that it was about a 7-hour book. That these were going to be 7 1-hour interviews with him. No, I mean, Croft did, you know, little 15-minute mm-hmm. vignettes with him. So there were a lot of interviews over a 10-year period of time. Mm-hmm. And what's really amazing about this book is that as an audiobook, Croft then he does his own kind of lead-in and then he plays the interview. And then he writes a segue to talk about a little bit what happened in the world between interview on February 10th and interview on November 10th. And then he plays the interview.
Ah.
And so the wonderful thing that this book turns into is that it's really actually rather timeless.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that just kind of speaks to presidency in general.
Right.
People are always going to be dealing with healthcare, social issues. They're going to be dealing with, you know, just politics in general.
It's international affairs.
Rather timeless.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And it's a really excellent book. Again, I would highly recommend it if you have any interest in one of the cool things that you see throughout the course of this book is how how his style changes,
mm-hmm.
where he does seem rather green in the beginning and kind of chummy, and then how he turns to almost jaded at the end. Like, come on, Steve. Like, you hear a lot of that. Like, come on, Steve. You know, I'm not going to answer that. That kind of stuff. So again, it's the Barack Obama, the 60 Minute Interviews. It's by Steve Croft of 60 Minutes, and you can get it in an Audible only format. So you can look it up on the Delaware County District Library website.
Great. Katie, anything you've been reading or listening to that you'd like to talk about?
Absolutely. I was happy to get my hands on the newest audiobook by Jane Harper recently. Jane Harper is the author of, she's Australian, and her novels are Australian, usually murder mysteries. And in her last three novels, they have had a setting of the Australian outback. Mm-hmm. And the landscape of Australia really plays a big part in all of her writing. But in this book, which is called The Survivors, it's a small beach town in Australia. And there was an accident about 10 years before where a couple of people drowned, and someone lost a family member, and he's returned to his town to kind of revisit with his family, and his father is suffering dementia, so he's got a lot of family struggles going on, and while he's there, someone else turns up dead. So you're going through in this, like, you know, idyllic, small, touristy beach town, and there is something dark and nefarious happening in this town. And I love these audiobooks. The Australian accent just adds so much more to the enjoyment of the story. And it's pretty wonderful. So that's Jane Harper, The Survivors. And it's been a good read so far.
That sounds great. I don't know why you'd need murderers in Australia. Everything in the environment wants to kill you there.
That's true.
So many things that are poisonous or venomous.
Well, and the entire country began as a whole island of murderers.
Yeah,
and,
penal colony, yeah. So.
Yeah. So. Not a stretch, really, let's say.
I grew up in Buffalo. I understand that. Via, anything you've been reading or listening to you'd like to talk about?
George, you know we don't read. We're here to talk about movies.
That's the second half. Come on.
I actually have a book today for a change, so it's okay if you...
No, I actually have. And first of all, I'll say that Australia is on my bucket list, but it's those huntsman spiders that keep me still like, I'm not going to go just yet. Like, I need the flamethrower. Like, but yeah, Australians like write great crime novels. They have so many TV shows and novels about that. Like, they know what's up. But this, I feel like I'm getting out of pandemic brain now, because for most of the year, I've actually had a lot of trouble reading big novels. So I've read a lot of graphic novels this year and gotten more into podcasts. I read the whole Lock and Key series by Joe Hill, Stephen King's son, and illustrated by Gabriel Rodriguez. And then a series called The Motherless Oven by Rob Davis, which is a very surreal, odd teen graphic novel series. I just got one called Harrow County that I barely even started by Cullen Bunn. That looks pretty interesting. But I'm currently reading, it's more of a novella. It's called The Beauty by Aaliyah Whiteley. And if you're a fan of like post-apocalyptic stories or the video game The Last of Us, you might be interested in this book. It's basically, there's a virus that comes and wipes out all of the women. It doesn't really explain yet, at least I'm halfway through the book, it doesn't explain why it's just the women. But the book is all of these men, this group of men in a certain part of the states that have just come together to survive, because they know that they only have, you know, whatever time they have left because they can't keep procreating. There's both old and young, and every night they get together around the campfire and they recount memories and stories of the women in their lives.
Wow.
Then one of the men discovers, so it's a very, very like deep thinking book. And then one of the men discovers that on the graves of the women of this town, these strange mushrooms start growing. And I won't spoil it hugely, but something comes back.
No.
And those graves. So that's all I will say about that. But it's very interesting so far.
Tell us again the title of that last one. I want to grab that one when you're done with it.
Yeah, it's called The Beauty, and it's by Aaliyah Whiteley.
Great. Thank you. So one of the nice things about working in a library is you see stuff that you'd never thought you'd be interested in. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways I see stuff that I never thought I'd be interested in is because I get a lot of advertising emails and just personalized sometimes emails from authors. And about 2 weeks ago, I got an email from an author named Yasmin Azad, and I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly. She had written a book about growing up in Sri Lanka, what used to be Ceylon. And it's about how growing up as a child in a very conservative Muslim community, very isolated, being on an island and everything, the effects of colonization westernization and the combating forces of the conservative Orthodox Muslim faith and this westernization, and how she had to live in that kind of environment and make choices. And she starts by giving the first few chapters about her grandmother and her aunt and her mother and their experiences and how they grew up with in this very male-dominated, subservient sort of society, and how these new influences created incredible tension in the community. It's a beautifully written book. It's the author did grow up in this environment. She grew up in a place called Galley Fort, Sri Lanka. Mm-hmm. She got an English degree from the University of Ceylon, the old name, and she spent a brief stint as a lecturer there, but then she moved to the United States in her 20s, and she just recently retired after many years as a mental health counselor. Mm-hmm. So she's had experience in both societies. I don't know a lot about her, but looking at her picture and that, she's probably about my age, you know, mid-60s. And so this puts the book, she was growing up in the 60s and 70s. Her best friend as a child was one of the Christian kids from the British side of the island, mm-hmm. and forced a lot of choices when you grow up in this environment. So it's a very interesting book. It's like I said, it's beautifully written, and it takes little things and makes them such microcosms of the bigger society. Little things like the women in her grandmother's generation never called their husbands by their names. It was always like if they needed their attention, they'd say, listen, or hey, because their name was so sacred that you couldn't just throw it around. And she has one aunt who throws that right out the window, just calls her husband by his name, and how everybody reacts to that. And you think it's such a tiny little thing, but yeah, it says so much about the society.
I'm sure it just makes everyone itch, like, oh, you're not supposed to do that.
And when they hear the name, everybody turns around. Uh-huh. So it's like I said, it's called Stay Daughter, A Memoir of Muslim Girlhood. It's by Yasmin Azad. We don't have it in the library, and I got actually an advanced reader copy of it from the author directly. And I'm sure we'll be getting some copies of it because it's a beautiful novel. It's also been very well reviewed in some of the respected journals that we use, like the Kirkus Reviews and places like that.
Right.
So anyway, very interesting. So we were going to be back in just a moment to talk about library people go to the movies. And I'm sure we're going to come up with a better title than that. But please stay tuned. And so thanks again to the Friends of the Library for sponsoring our show. They've got a great author program coming up next in April, and we are really looking forward to that. There's information about that on their website, DelawareLibraryFriends.org, and check that out. It's going to be a really enjoyable event. So thank you guys, and more things coming along, because as we start to reopen the libraries, we'll be able to do more stuff with the Friends again.
You know, they teased also that they are going to have a plant sale coming up along with this kind of floral-themed author visit. Mm-hmm. And it couldn't come sooner because I've already killed my Christmas plants. Did you kill your Christmas plants, George?
I left them in Joyce's care, and I believe most of them are still doing okay.
My lavender plant might as well be dried lavender.
Well, that's how I would make potpourri out of it.
Exactly,
then.
Yeah. And then my little Whoville thing, we kept it wrapped too long and it's toast.
Yeah, my Whoville tree didn't make it. That one I am pretty sure of. So.
Which is too bad because I was looking forward to that little lemon bush that it was going to be.
And mm-hmm. planting it outside, but it just didn't make it.
Didn't survive,
so.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So, anyway, so Bea and Katie, you did your first episode of Library Guys Go to the Movies this week. So tell us a little bit about what you did this week and what are your plans for the podcast now?
So we are officially the library gals.
Okay.
Going to the movies. We
Wonderful.
Did a fun little quick edit to our original intro with a nice little record scratch. So we're straight out of guys and into gals. We did have a really nice handoff episode with Luke Powers. Luke mm-hmm. took a job at the Plain City Library. He was kind enough to recommend Via and myself as fellow movie nerds, which trust me, we are. And so we picked up the very heavy podcast mantle that he left behind.
Well, there's two of you, so that helps you shoulder it a little easier.
Right. But,
so,
So
you say you're movie nerds. What are your favorite favorite genres of movies? VA, why don't you jump in here?
Yeah, I am definitely, I stated this on the first podcast. I watch I'll watch any nerd. I love horror and sci-fi and fantasy, but I can go on and on about horror movies. me and Katie share that, which is nice.
Katie, what else
do you? Yeah, and I'm the same. I will watch just about anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will watch just about any movie. Right now, we're sort of ramping up into a very strange Oscar season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So we have no idea what will be the Oscar of the Gateway Film Center in mm-hmm. Columbus. And usually around the time of Oscar nominee breakfast, where we will get together and see all the nominations at once, and then they would show all of the films and kind of do revivals. And it's been a really hard year not to go to the movies. I miss the act of going to the movies, but I will watch just like via just about anything. But I've been on a big horror movie kick recently as well.
I think sometimes when there's a pandemic and there's crazy things going on in the world, horror movies let you think, okay, it could be worse. I could
That's
be being
exactly
chased
right.
by the in the woods by somebody with a big knife or a tire iron or, you know, the mm-hmm. at the portal to another universe.
Yeah, that's all totally normal.
Right.
So I'm steering clear of any of like contagion movies or like any that deal with an actual pandemic, but everything else is on the table.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So I listened to your inaugural and your crossover episode and I loved the handoff. And you guys did talk a lot about horror, but what I've got to know is, are you going to stretch beyond it? What's coming up for the future episodes of the Library Gals at the Movies?
Yeah, we're absolutely stretching beyond horror. I told myself, I was like, the next movie you choose is not going to be horror. And technically it's not. It's considered, I found it in a lot of horror lists, not more of a drama. So you'll have to tune into our next one because we are doing, I won't tell you what movies we're doing, but we are doing a little nod to female directors. So okay. That'll be a good one to listen to for next month.
Oh, perfect.
But yes, we're definitely going to branch out. It's not just going to be a horror podcast.
And Via did a great job. She has identified a lot of different themes over the next coming months. So we'll try and stick to a theme and we'll get a movie or two in there. We're starting off by recommending a movie to one another, and we'll each watch that movie and then talk about it.
Oh, I love that.
That's a great idea. Yeah. That's a good way of getting a good dialogue going.
So right.
Our own Siskel and Ebert here.
Exactly. Yeah, and obviously, so you're doing female directors in March for Women's History Month, I imagine. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
So,
And I have to say, like, the movies we picked for next month, you'll have to listen because the two movies could not be any more different.
So just...
We both enjoyed those.
Let me put you on the spot. And what are a couple of the movies that came out this year, maybe that you had to watch at home on a streaming service because you couldn't go to a theater or something? What are a couple of movies you would say are don't miss these movies from 2020?
That is a good on-the-spot question, George.
I know. Either one of you.
I'm going to jump in.
Okay.
Yeah, I just watched on HBO Max Judas and the Black Messiah.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I want to see that.
And it was wonderful. It was very powerful. It was well done. The acting is absolutely incredible. I highly recommend that one. And one I have not seen yet, but is so...
Can't understand her.
Dorman. There's a... What was that?
You're breaking up, Katie. Try again.
Got it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's...
Okay.
Go ahead.
Nomadland.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Frances McDormand is great. I mean, she's such a wonderful actress. So, and this looks really interesting.
Yes, definitely. I'm looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm. Via, did you have any movies that you streamed or saw some other way this year that you'd recommend?
I feel like I'm failing my job already. I can't think of any of the movies I watched last year. I'm looking through, I don't remember a single thing. I feel like I actually watched a lot of TV shows. Yeah. And I don't know if it was because we had such a lot of movies were streaming, but a lot of the ones that I'd been waiting for kind of were more pushed back. So I'm waiting for them to come out this year. So yeah, I watched more TV series and kind of caught up on things that I hadn't seen. I'm one of those people that if you recommend something really new to me, unless I'm in the right mindset to know that I'm going to appreciate it, I don't like to watch or like read or listen to it, because usually people recommend stuff to me, it's stuff I know I'm going to like. And so I don't want to rush through it. Just be like,
yep.
You know, I want to make sure I'm appreciating it, because I can really love it.
That makes perfect sense. Yeah. I'm someone who tends to catch on to the binge things like 6 months after everybody else has done it.
Well, and I think the difficulty of 2020 was a lot of the movies that were released went straight to streaming, but they went on so many different platforms. Katie, you mentioned HBO Max. The Disney Plus did the release of Mulan exclusively that way. They're going to do the same with Raya and the Last Dragon. You know, and there are just so many. It might be exclusive to Hulu, might be exclusive to Netflix. I mean, I think that made it almost more difficult than just walking down the street to the Strand Theater or to Cinemark or to whoever, and you know, and seeing a movie.
Yeah, it well, why should watching be any easier this year than anything else? Was?
No, it had
this
to be
such a crazy year in every way. So, but I think the Oscar thing that Katie brought up is a real. That's a real issue, because you know, you used to have a movie premiere. It had to play in theaters in Los Angeles and New York in order to even be qualified.
Uh-huh.
And I know they've had to make some changes in the rules to accommodate all the things that were streaming, because there were some incredible movies made this past year.
And also some that I thought were less incredible that I saw were nominated. The comedy and musical category is one that I always look
at. A little weak, yeah.
And Prom was one that was on there, and that was a Netflix exclusive, and it left things to be desired. God bless Meryl Streep, but it left things to be desired.
I thought it was fun, but it was about as memorable as a tuna fish sandwich.
Yeah.
So. So anyway, well, we're looking forward to your future episodes of Library Gals Go to the Movies. So we got a couple of other things coming up this week that we want to talk about that are pending. I know we've got one of our Dungeons and Dragons events tomorrow night, Saturday night. If you're listening Sunday, you missed it. That's the Adventurers League.
Mm-hmm.
And that does require pre-registration, which you can do on our events page, DelawareLibrary.org/events. What else we got going?
Well, I wanted to plug two things that have nothing to do with the library, and I swear they're not.
Get your own show.
They're not sponsored. They're not sponsored. Well, there is a thing happening at the Delaware County Fairgrounds this weekend. It's all about ice. Have you heard about it?
No.
It's called the World of Ice. It's happening at the Delaware County Fairgrounds. It's today, Friday, tomorrow, and Sunday, and ice sculptors will be there, and they'll have ice carvings, and you can basically sit in your car and drive through and see the ice sculptures.
And we realize, of course, that this is the weekend. It's going to go up to almost 60
degrees.
It's going
to go to 50. Yeah, it's going to melt all weekend long. So maybe go
tonight.
Timing
is everything in this world. Yes.
Maybe go tonight.
Yeah, go tonight.
And then also, I have been paying close attention, but this is really only relevant if you're listening live on Friday morning. The Alpha Group has been doing an auction this week.
Yes.
It closes at noon. Don't bid on my items, or so help you. No, but there are other things that our library is doing. And actually, Katie, you might know about this one. It's the take-home craft bags that's happening. It starts on Monday, and it's at the Orange Branch Library. And wonderful Kristen at the Orange Branch has put together some of these craft bags.
Yes, we are opening at Orange on Monday to the public, and we will have craft bags available for pickup. They are spring-themed, and they are limited supply, so they are first come, first serve, but I know there's a really great St. Patrick's Day themed piece in there. They are grown up crafts, so a little more intricate, and there's some really, really fun things in there.
That's great.
And you can get them both in the library and through the drive-up window.
Right.
Or the drive-through, yep.
Yeah.
So as Katie said, the other three libraries will be opening next week. Powell and Orange open Monday morning at 9 a.m. Ostrander opens Tuesday morning at 11. Their regular closing on Monday. Yes, we are so delighted. It was so great seeing people in the library. We had one of our regular patrons drop off flowers and Danish for the staff this week. I mean, it was just that kind of week. It was wonderful. So it's just so good to feel. The first day I heard a little kid yelling in the library. It was like, we're home.
Yay.
It felt great.
Children screaming is exactly what libraries need.
It is.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Finally got to tell somebody to be quiet for once.
Actually, who I got to tell to be quiet was Rachel.
Our staff.
Yes, our own staff. We tend to forget, too, that we're supposed to be quiet in the library. So anyway, thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Via. Thank you, Katie. I think it's going to be a lot of fun having you guys doing the podcast. Thanks for taking it over. Nicole, it's always a pleasure working with you.
Always a pleasure.
And Gage, thanks for running the board so well and making Skype work as well as it possibly
can. I try my best.
And thanks, of course, to the Friends of the Library. And we will see you in the stacks.